So here we are in the studio with the gang from the Island Environmental Hygiene Limited. And I don't know why we say limited, because it suggests that it's limited. It's anything but. This company's been going for 24 odd years. We're going to find out more about that. Plus, we're going to find out the future of aerosol air fresheners in the next hour, which will intrigue you. It's intrigued me, and that's the reason why I've put an aerosol can the other side of the studio, so we don't forget to talk about it. So we have Peter Osborne in. Good afternoon, Peter.
Afternoon to you.
And you're a bit of a geezer.
No comment.
And then we've also got Hannah Bagnall as well. Is that, have I said that right?
Yeah.
Oh, good. And you didn't want a speaking part, so you're doing all right so far, aren't
Thanks.
You? Just tell us about Island Environmental Hygiene, because you started out as something and it's blossomed into something else.
I started off with this idea that the sort of business that we do, the structure of it, it wasn't actually happening on the Isle of Wight. It was coming from a lot of mainland companies, and I thought the island people could get a better deal through this as regards to this particular thing we do, which is to do with hygiene in respect of washroom areas and homes and stuff like that for the elderly, and other aspects of that as well, which go into office areas and public areas, as well as the pubs and so on, hotels. And I started off on my own totally, and it just seemed to blossom from there once we got sort of online with the local people, and we explained to them what we did, and I sort of approached different places and explained what I was trying to aim to do. But the main aim of it all was, at the end of the day, was to create more people, more work for the local people, and having mainland companies take the work away, which at the moment is really expanding quite well, and we got good plans. And we've got good ideas coming up for different things in that area. And we diversify, you know. We actually are what they call a waste transfer station now. We're the only one on the Isle of Wight, because unfortunately the hospital do not take in drugs from outside anymore. They're all in-house, and things like what they call sharps. And we deal with now dentists and clinics and chemists, as well as the homes, of course, who have to provide certain facilities for pharmaceutical stuff and that. And the stuff they don't want anymore, we take that in and we destroy it, we get rid of it. And it just goes on down there, as well as the washroom areas. We've got the hygiene side, which is to do with pharmaceutical and sharps and so on, as I've just said. And diversifying, sometimes we have to take stuff away for the police and that sort of thing. So yeah, it's quite interesting in a way.
It sounds fascinating, it really does. And over the last X amount of years, where things are changing, there's new legislation taken out every week, I would imagine something's changed. And I would imagine we'll come to the aerosol thing in a minute, because you know, wherever you look, you go into someone's house, I bet there ain't a house on the island that doesn't have an aerosol can in it.
Well, no, we always got our eye on the ball as regards to legislation, such as health and safety. Of course, we have the environmental agency involved in what we do, being a waste transfer station. And there's so many different sides of it, you know, going to the ordinary washroom side, as I said before, legislation even coming in there. And what we understand, and we've been told, is that in 2019, most, if not all, aerosols are actually going to be banned. So we've had to look of another way of providing things like fresh air machines, etc., which doesn't involve a aerosol can. And we've actually found a manufacturer who does this for us now, and we have got the franchise for it on the island. And we've sort of put a 21st century package together, where we've got new hand drying machines, which we've got the franchise for, which apparently have been proven they're better than a certain big company that sell these. And also we do a new different type of sanitary ladies bin, which is called a pod, which we've just taken on, and we're sort of experimenting with that at the moment. And it's a lot more hygienic because it's got internal crystals and stuff like that to get rid of any bacteria. So we've got in all these new ideas coming in, trying to evolve it. And eventually, I would like, in my mind's eye, if I had anybody out there who'd like to give me the money, to build my own factory, so that we could have a factory on the Isle of Wight, employing local people, and instead of us trading from the mainland, we trade it ourselves to the mainland. And that's what it's all about to me at the end of the day.
Oh, you sound like a man after my own heart. There's so many things that we're missing a trick on. I remember, I'm just going back, because I used to bang on about this a lot back in 2010. It was 2010, not the last World Cup, but two World Cups back, I think. The Brazil shirts were made from Coca-Cola bottles. And you just think, why can't we do something like that here, right here?
Exactly.
Yeah. When we roll out our bins, when Amy roll out their bins, it's like whether they're rolling out their there's a pamphlet that they're putting through every door this week, because the do's and the don'ts, which we'll come on to in a moment, because I would imagine you play a part in that, and you have to have you've got to be switched on with it. But wouldn't it be great if we go back 4 or 5 years when we rolled out all them bins, they were all supplied from places on the island using recycled stuff. I mean, it's just, you know, to me, that is where we should be.
Yeah.
But anyway, just coming back to the aerosol thing, because you want to be absolutely 100% clear, because my wife, if she's listening now, she'll be panicking, thinking, what, we won't be able to buy aerosols, any aerosols from any shop, is that right?
I don't really know. I can't say for certain you can't. I mean, it's like everything else. It'll gradually be phased out, I should imagine. Though the legislation are coming in 2019, it's like everything. It's like the new pound coin we're getting at the moment. That though it finishes in October, they still have to phrase it out as regards to, even if it's not valued to that pound.
The inevitable has happened.
Yeah.
Hannah wants to talk.
Okay. Really?
She's itching to get in.
Okay. And
she's going to put us right on the aerosol, or she's going to confirm something, I'm sure.
Well, as far as I'm aware, it's fine in residential areas. It's business premises. That's where the legislation's coming in. So as of 2019, businesses are going to have to phase out their aerosol usage. So they're going to have to change their fresh air machines over to non-aerosol versions, basically.
I'm not going to pick on Lidl here, but I mean, you know, like all supermarkets, that they are a business, and if they've got aerosols, surely, you know, okay, if we're at home and we've got an aerosol, it's not aimed at us, but we've got to get them from a company, haven't we? So,
yeah, I think you'll still be able to purchase them for your own use in your own home environment. It's just that things like restaurants and pubs and places, business premises, like your toilets here, you wouldn't be able to have a aerosol air freshener in the toilets. You would have to have a non-aerosol version.
Right.
So it's businesses that will have to change.
Do you think that at some point that's the tester, and then at some point they'll bring in and say...
May well be. I mean, I would think one of the reasons why they've done it for businesses is because people are asthmatics and people with other health conditions, the aerosols can be quite damaging to them. So I think they're trying to make it so environments, it's more better for them. And also aerosols aren't very environmentally friendly, so they're trying to sort of phase it out because of that as well.
Can we stay in that public toilet for a minute? Because us blokes, you must have this problem as well. When you go into the old public toilets and you got those cubes in the urinals, they don't half sting your eyes.
Yeah, we actually do a pod, which is a similar thing to that as regards to what the content is, but it won't sting your eyes because it's an actual pod that sticks in the certain areas you're talking about.
Yeah.
And this is the idea, what I said earlier, about us looking into new ways of following our name, environmental friendly, basically.
Brilliant.
Trying to keep the island clean, trying to do things for people that they feel at ease if they go anywhere. Like Hannah said, if somebody's asthmatic or something. So we're looking at that aspect as well. So it all counts, and it's good for your company, it's good for the publicity of your business, but most of all, it's good for us because I know it sounds a bit Mickey Mouse, you know, sort of corny and cheesy, but it makes us feel better if we know that people are happy with what we're doing for them.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. And I know that when, you know, I mean, I'm fairly healthy. I don't have any allergies or anything like that. But I do come out of some public toilets and you think, God, my eyes feel like they're stinging. And I'm not, I just want to make it clear, I'm not picking up the cubes and rubbing my eyes with it. It is actually, you know, you go in there and think, oh, crikey, this is really, really strong. So, so there are things out there. You would use something completely different, obviously.
Yeah. And then when we're always looking in, as I say, there's... It's such a wide world out there. It's not just the Isle of Wight. There's such a wide world out there with good ideas, with good products, and that's what we're looking at. We're looking right across the board. And now we're coming out of the European market. You know, obviously we'd still be looking in their areas, what they got to offer us as a country, as an island, in the products side of it. But most of all, if we can be self-sufficient in the way that I'm going back to the same old thing. I wished I could make these products ourselves to create more work for the island and for Britain, basically. I was brought up with people like Alan Sugar, who was seven doors down from me when I was a kid, though I never knew they were but they were a family. And Joseph Cohen, who ended up Mr. Tesco's, and many people from where I was a kid, obviously at the time were people that I just thought were just old men, if you like, but look at what they've done.
Yeah.
And it's because they diversify and they give people what they want. But I want to do that, but I want to give them stuff they want and services they want, which are going to be safe for the environment and safe for themselves, obviously.
Definitely. How much do you need? Sorry, Hannah.
No, that's fine. I was just going to say that the new air fresheners that we've got now are actually the most environmentally friendly ones on the market, and they're hospital grade, so a lot of hospitals actually have them as well, so they're completely safe.
Okay. So do you supply St Mary's?
We don't supply St Mary's, but they are who we get them from, our manufacturer. They do them to hospitals as well, so they are hospital grade.
Yeah, it's a new this 21st century I call package, if you like, where we're trying new things, we're experimenting with them to make sure they do what they say on the packet. So once we know that, then obviously we take them to the public and we offer it to them. If they want it, great. If they, you know, give them their choice of doing that.
Okay.
So there you go.
You mentioned earlier on, if somebody wanted to give you some money and you could set up something like this on, like, so we are, you know, we're providing it, we're doing it, and we're employing people and so on. How much would you need to do that? Are you talking megabucks?
Yeah, we're talking about, the game plan is for us to actually, I would like to build our own unit from scratch, so that everything in that unit is all the ideas of this company and all the, you know, well within the legislation that we're supposed to provide for what we do. And that probably costs, a lot of money. Couldn't put a figure on it, but, you know, it's like every company, really. They like to invest in their business, but hopefully you can create the money to do that in the future, eventually.
I was watching an old episode of Only Fools and Horses just recently when Del Boy went into the loo, washed his hands, and there's a guy that he had met for a long time. He went to the loo and he didn't wash his hands and he shook his hands, and Del Boy ended up washing his hands again, and they were pulling the towel down. Do you remember those old things where you pull the towel down?
The roller towels.
And I'm thinking, have they been outlawed yet? Because you don't see many of those now. Are they illegal now?
I'll be honest with you, I don't really know on that side of it, but a lot of people have obviously gone over to the paper system now to dry their hands. But even that's changing now. I mean, it's like our hand dryers we got now. They're just as good as anything on the market, literally. I mean, they were at a London exhibition and they were, even the big boys turned around and said, you know, these are really good. These are really the business.
That's where I wanted the lead to. And I know you got the, what is it, the V7 tri-blade?
Yeah.
And the Veltiered V7 300.
Yeah.
I haven't got a clue what they are, but I'm guessing.
We've also got one called Doris 1.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They wanted us to name one of the machines because we couldn't, for legal point reasons, we couldn't name it what they had it. So I said, we'd call it Doris 1. And everybody looked at me in the office and said, you're nuts. I said, well, that's the reason. X show busy.
Too right.
It makes people listen. Yeah. And they say, Doris 1. got their attention.
It works. We've got a cat called Doris.
Yeah.
Whenever you go to the vet and say you're booking in Doris,
yeah,
everyone stops and looks and
exactly.
smiles.
Yeah.
And so, got you. I totally.
If we
agree
extend
with that.
On that, we'll call it Doris 1, 2, and 3 or whatever, you know. Even other names, you know.
So when these, because obviously we just come back from holiday and we only went up to Suffolk and you go out and you go to you pubs and you use public toilets and so on and so forth,
yeah.
And they've got most of them have got these facilities in and these new,
yeah.
I'm guessing, and you just put your hand in, you wash your hands, you put your hand in, and then you bring it out and it's dry.
Yeah.
And it's. And I looked at it and I was watching everybody else thinking, are you going to lose a hand in there? Are you going to lose a thumb in there? And I'm thinking, so I was a bit reluctant. But I thought, wow, this is incredible because it works.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really does. You wash your hands, they're soaking wet, you put them in,
yeah.
You drag it, you just bring them out and all the water's gone.
You see, the emphasis there is basically what I was saying about everybody's changing fashion. Where you had the old roller towel system, they've now gone to the paper system, a lot of them, not saying all of them. Now, from the paper system, in my mind's eye, I can see them going to the hand drying system, these machines. They're not only more hygienic, but the ones we have actually zap all the germs as they do it.
Yeah, they've got microban built in.
And they've got microban built in and whatever, you know, I don't know the technical.
What's a microban?
It's a coating that kills germs.
Right.
So it's like a laser beam system. In and it just zaps any bacteria that's on your hands, basically.
Okay, that's interesting. So,
yeah.
So you must have to keep up to date with all the rules and regulations.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You're thinking, okay, someone should outlaw the towel thing. You don't? Do you still supply the towel thing?
And no, we never have done it.
But I would imagine there's still places that have them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'd like to go back. I'd like to go around and condemn them and say, look, come on, move with the times. It's probably full of germs. How many germs is going to be in something like that?
Yeah.
Whereas if you've got the blade, that is, it's perfect, isn't
it?
Yeah, it's fantastic. And one of ours even gives you a hand massage at the same time.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Crikey.
Yeah, I won't tell you her name, but we won't get into it. Yes, we've got these different systems, and they're quite incredible, really. I mean, the people who invent these machines and that are just amazing. They're geniuses, you know, and it just goes on and on, and they're probably progressed from that onto something else.
Probably. Well, it will, because, you know, something else will come along. I mean, you know, X amount of years, we probably go back in time, you didn't even have the towel that you pulled down and
exactly,
round. It would have been something else.
I mean, you never know, they might even have a hologram-type hand dryer coming that we don't know about, like Star Wars job. You never know, do you know?
Do you know the one thing that is very apparent is when you try one of these blade-type things, You know exactly what you've got to do. You put your hand in, whereas there's some of them that aren't blades. You're trying to find the on button, and you're trying to find and you must have done this. Other people must have done this as well. Where you're thinking, I've got to wave my hand somewhere, but I'm not quite sure. With this blade, it's quite simple. You put your hand in. As soon as you put your hand in, it starts.
A lot of these motorway brake spaces, you know, these cafes or whatever they call them now, they've got them in there. The old ones still. And like you say, sometimes you put your hand on it, it doesn't do nothing. It's probably either because there's something wrong with it, or as you say, you can't find the sensor. But innovation of these modern machines are just amazing. They're just getting better and better all the time. They not only do what they're supposed to do, but there's a lot of them explain what you should be doing, which is great.
Well, after a period of time, I'm guessing if you're still using the paper towels, after a period of time, it's going to pay for itself, isn't it?
Definitely.
Well, yeah, definitely. And not only that, if you look at it from the environmental, once again, that magic word side of it, look at the things we're going to save. We're going to save, it's all right people saying recycling, but people are still chopping trees down. So that creates paper, blah, 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 and it's like a knock-on thing.
Yeah.
So if you can stop paper being used as much as it should be, and if people start using computers properly instead of printing everything out like they do in
John Owen in our office.
Well, I've never said nothing.
Yeah, he's forever. We got to replace that ink thing out there once a week because he's, you know, printing stuff out.
Exactly. If you can you know, work out a system where you don't have to use that sort of system paper wise.
Sure.
Imagine what environmental savings we could make with that. You know. And it's getting really naughty now, because we're talking like it's affecting our seas, you know, with the animals in the seas and the fish. And it's just so wrong. you know, we got no right to do this to nature, you know, so we better get our act together sooner or later.
I totally agree. I do think, you know, unfortunately, the most of the genie's out of the bottle, but at the same time, it doesn't mean to say we can't do something and help ourselves.
Oh, yeah, I don't think it's too late. Far from it.
No.
Because, as I say, beyond the Isle of Wight, the world is a massive place.
Sure.
It's huge. We just can't comprehend how big it is, you know.
So what you've obviously got to keep your finger on the pulse of what's changing in the world and what's legal and what's not and so on. What's in the last couple of years, what's the main issues that you've had and maybe people don't understand? You know, what's the main problems that you've had?
I think the main issue for me is we get involved, obviously we've got to be involved with the environmental agency, which they're doing their job, etc. But I do believe there's a lot of common sense has been lost through a lot of the, and you hear it all the time, you hear it on the radio, the television every day, they've lost the common sense of people taking initiative to their self and responsibility, instead of saying, well, really sensibly, if we did it this way, this would happen. And a lot of bureaucratic red tapes got involved, and then for it, it starts to get confusing. Therefore, you lose the purpose of what you're supposed to be doing, creating that and solving that problem. And instead of doing it the simple way, which is always the best way, you get all this red tape and this bureaucratic thing. And I think if they stood back and took note of what they really are doing and look at it in a sensible, common sense way, you save half the trouble, not only in this environment, but probably in the world.
What one thing would you change then? That obviously is in place now. The legalities are there for you to follow. What one thing that really annoys you, frustrates you to the point where, if you were like, you know, head of everything, you would change? Hannah's worried that you being head of. I'm guessing. I'm just really looking.
Yeah,
at,
but
you know,
this is why you said to me they call me the geezer, because I say as it is. I'm an Alan
Shrimmer,
like you know.
I like that. And
straight as a die, and it's just, I don't like the nonsense that goes on within the legal system, because there's no need for it.
And half the time there's no common sense there.
No. It's not fit for purpose, you know.
So come on, what would you change? What would you say? Right, okay, we're having that out. You can clear off.
I'd tell you what I'd change. The only thing I'd change, I put the right people in the right jobs. It's as simple as that. People who know what they're doing. It's like if you're a farmer, you get somebody to run the farming ministry by a farmer.
Yeah.
You get somebody in another department who's done that to run it.
Get
somebody who knows what they're doing.
Yeah, teachers to sort out
schools. Not somebody
who's,
you know, been had the fortune of having good education, whatever. Not taking away from them they're sensible or clever, but you should have somebody who knows exactly what they're doing for that certain thing. Straightforward common sense.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I'd vote for that. That's all you want, isn't it? So is there one thing? I'm trying to get one thing out of you where we can say, right, okay, that's what I would change. You know, that one thing that's in place, you think, do you know what? They do it this way, and that's just ridiculous. I mean, you must have heard lots of people moaning and groaning about the way our rubbish is collected and so on and so on. You're raising your eyebrows now. You'll have something to say in a minute, I'm sure. And I'm not knocking anything, because I'm not an expert, but you are.
I can't understand why local authorities bring in outside companies to do local things, when we could create our own local system and our own local engineers, our own local people that do know, and they have to bring in these people from outside to come in and take over the so-called franchise. That really bugs me, because them people are only in it for themselves.
Right.
They're only in it for their own financial gains, which is what they do. They're a business. But why take all that away, all these services and that, from your local people? You know, to me it's a sense of laziness, isn't it? Instead of the authorities taking on these local things that we used to do ourselves, instead of doing that, they pass the problem onto somebody else, which is totally wrong, because once you pass something onto somebody else, it's out of your control.
Mm.
And these people are working for people like shareholders. They're not working for the island, they're working for shareholders, like the railways, like the telephone companies, the gas. They've taken all that away from the British people, and they've given it to franchise people, private companies, and it's all right saying, oh yeah, competition. Competition for who? Not for the people. We're supposed to be working for the people of the island, the people of Britain. We're not working for companies. I'm not interested in shareholders. I tell you what, 20, 30 years ago, we were a lot more happier because we were more contented. We knew what was coming up the road and we knew what decisions to make because we had a bit more common sense then.
Can't disagree. I like the idea of, especially take the island roads, the terrain of the island is so different to most places. You need experts to know exactly what we're getting down here. And unfortunately, okay, we've got some local people that are working for national, multinational companies, but they're still, like you say, they still have to go back to their shareholders.
I bet they would say there's a lot of things that they would do that they're not doing.
Yeah,
I bet. And they're doing it best for the company, and they're not doing it for the best for the people of the Isle of Wight. And that's what annoys me.
Now, Lee, you've got some stuff down here that you want me to talk about, and I'm trying to lead you in now, you know, now and again, because I'm fascinated by all the other stuff as well. Because this is such a big subject, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you keep up with? Is there something you have to follow? You have to keep up with legislation and rules and regulations.
Yeah, we've got a compliance officer who not only looks after the health and safety, but he looks after the legalisation of what we do at the waste transfer station. And he's actually involved with the environmental agency, and they come and see us now and again, and they say, look, we should be doing this and should be doing that, and then we go down that road. But yeah, that's one way we keep up with legislation, but also other things, that new ideas coming along. What we touched on earlier on, we always got our ear to the ground, and we're listening, we're looking to find out what's going on around you. You've got to take notice, you know. You just can't fall asleep and think, oh yeah, we'll wait till tomorrow. You've got to be on the ball. It's as simple as that.
What's next on the horizon then? When you look at, because you're forever changing, what's the next thing you know's on the way, apart from the aerosols, that's going to change, but what else is coming up? What else do you need to worry yourself about? I mean, obviously we've got to worry ourselves as well, but what else is coming? What's coming our way?
Right.
I'm a bit worried now. You go, right.
Okay. I think basically we're already looking at it already. It's the lack of taking care as regards to recycling. And though as much as we do it, there are companies out there and people that don't do it properly. That's just one tiny aspect. There's other stuff as well going on, pollution. They keep fumbling around about this car business at the moment. Is it diesel doing this? Is it petrol? Is it that? Well, if you think electric car's the way to go with it, full force. And other stuff, and then you go from enough something like that to other stuff like safety of trying not use so many chemicals in products and stuff like that. And try and use more natural stuff in products. But once again, it's not in our control, isn't it? What I was talking about earlier, if you've got a company that's obviously in business to make money, but they hopefully have a care inside of them where they will produce a product or a service which won't affect Joe Bloggs in the street, Joe Public. And once again, the safety of the people is the most important thing in the world.
Okay, we'll take a break in a mo, but we are going to be coming back, and we're going to be talking about the businesses and you know that aren't aware of their legal responsibilities. I've got to be honest with you. I mean, we're a radio station, and I'm thinking, I'm now a bit concerned that we're not taking our responsibilities seriously. But then I think, well, we're a radio station. We have bins. We get, you know, and so on. So maybe it's just a case of you tell us. I mean, you've walked in, you've walked around the building, and you must have thought, change that. That's not right there. We'll give them some of that, and so on. So responsibilities of businesses. I would
but you give that to the person who really knows what they're talking about. You see, like I said, we got an health and safety guy on in our team, and he would come in here and he'd say, blah, 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 do that because that just may happen and we don't want you getting sued for this or whatever. So really, that's sort of out of my field, that sort of thing, health and safety. Though I listen to what people tell me to do and comply by it, but I also make sure that the people who are telling me know exactly what they're talking about,
yeah,
and with the phase of having common sense with it.
Okay, so we will come back and we'll talk more about aerosol air fresheners, just to make that point absolutely clear, because I don't want people to panic and think, oh, we're not going to get any deodorants in 2 years' time. What's going to happen?
It's fine. As far as I'm aware, within your own house, it's fine. It's businesses. They're the ones that need to change.
Because okay. businesses, obviously, are public areas in a way, yeah. aren't they? So
we're tackling businesses next. Okay. So when we come back, we'll tackle businesses. If you want to get in touch, you can, 240666. You can follow us on Facebook as well. We'll be back after a quick break.
Across the Isle of Wight and across the world, this is Vectis Radio.
Leader cabs have arrived on the Isle of Wight, a modern taxi service that's simple to book, safe to travel and secure to pay. Call us today on 01983 30 3000 or save 10% and use our app to book your cab in advance. Leader cabs, quick, easy, safe and secure.
I'll have a consonant, please, Carol.
L.
And another.
G.
And a third.
B.
And another consonant.
T.
And a final one.
Q.
LGBTQ.
If you're part of the LGBT community on the island, find out about social events and the support that's available. Key Arts will be holding LGBTQ nights on the last Friday of the month in 2017. There's so much going on. Give us a call to find out more. 0778 6080203. The project is funded by the My Life A Full Life scheme.
For over 70 years, Wight Building Materials have been the leading supplier of construction and building materials on the Isle of Wight, offering ready-mixed concrete, decorative aggregates, concrete blocks and so much more. They're right here on your doorstep, unless of course you haven't built it yet, in which case you need Wight Building Materials. For more information or if you have any questions regarding products and services, contact them on 01983 524 822 or check out the website whitebuildingmaterials.com. Wight Building Materials. Call them today.
Do you have a spare room? Would you like to earn up to £820 for 2 or 3 weeks this summer? Or maybe you have a passion for experiencing different cultures? Then why not host international students with the world's largest educational company, with 24-hour support from your local office based in Newport? EF Education First is by far the largest language school on the Isle of Wight. We can guarantee you students this summer. Call us today on 821133 to find out more.
The Political Soapbox on Vectis Radio with me, Joe Plum.
Yes, we can.
Because Brexit means Brexit.
This, Mr. President, is a remarkable record.
The Isle of Wight Zoo is having difficulty importing a tiger.
My father gave me a small loan of $1 million.
Which we wouldn't have if we listened to the muttering idiot sitting opposite me.
Joe Plum's Political Soapbox, Saturdays from 1 o'clock.
Order! Order!
West Wight Audio, the island's technical troubleshooters. Having problems with your phone? Or are your electrics on the blink? Maybe you need your appliances or your building wiring tested or just a light fitted. We've got it covered. For friendly, reliable service, call Kelvin on 754666 or click westwhiteaudio.co.uk. All island coverage.
The Wight Military and Heritage Museum in Northwood. The museum will excite your senses and immerse you in a world of human success over adversity. Call 01983 300037 for more details or to book your ride.
Stay social and get in touch. Give us a call on 01983 240666 or add us on Skype. It's vectis.radio. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
Welcome back to part two. We've got Hannah in and also Peter in from Ireland Environmental Hygiene Limited. We're going to give out website details, telephone numbers, that sort of thing in a wee while, but if you pardon the expression. And we want to talk about the things that businesses are responsible for that they may not realise that they're actually responsible for. Now, because I knew you were coming in, I kind of just had a little bit of a look at what we're doing and so on, and hopefully we're okay. You know, we don't have a toilet outside of the building, so it's in the Riverside side, so they're responsible for different things. And you were saying that there was certain rules that we're not aware of, or certain people aren't aware of, when it comes down to disposing of certain waste. Do you want to go into the details?
Yeah, sure. Well, if you've got a washroom that's available to either female members of staff or to customers, then you're legally required as a business to provide a sanitary bin in that washroom for the customers or the staff members. And you can't just sort of dispose of that yourself. You can't just put it in with your normal rubbish. You actually have to get that bin sanitised and the contents disposed of legally. And for that, you would require a sanitary bin service from a provider like ourselves.
Okay.
And there's other types of rubbish too. All business rubbish, you have a legal responsibility to dispose of it in line with current government legislation, and so as a business, you have to look into that. You have to find out, you have to look at what type of rubbish you actually produce, and then you have to make sure that you're following the guidelines to actually dispose of it correctly.
Okay, I'm thinking, you know, basically hospital needles, that sort of mm-hmm. thing, pharmaceuticals, I'm guessing. That is something that they would know about because they have mm-hmm. experts to sort of, you know, to say, look, this is what you've got to do in this situation. Yeah. But I want to mention there's a load of other companies are thinking, right, okay, how do we dispose of certain things? What's the what current things are you disposing of, working on at the moment with people?
Even things like nappies, childcare facilities, things like that. You can't even childminders. They're not really supposed to just dispose of the nappies in the normal waste. Really, they need to get a nappy bin and actually dispose of it properly as business waste rather than
okay.
in with normal waste.
So when you start opening it up and you start thinking, okay, nappies, that's quite a big thing.
I mean, it's within your what you produce within your own home. So if it's just your own child, that's fine. There's not an issue there. But if you're running it as a business, then you're technically supposed to dispose of it as a business.
And most places, most public places now will have toilet facilities and nappy changing
yeah.
facilities as well.
Yeah.
So if they've got one of those, they obviously need to be disposing of it in the proper way.
Yeah.
Which, obviously, you know, I don't know how long this has been in for, but I would imagine you said just before the break it's been in for quite a while.
Yeah.
Quite a long time.
It's not new legislation. It's just people aren't aware of it. It's just something that's not... It's not brought up. You don't sort of discuss it in general conversation. So people aren't aware of the legal requirements there.
If you're not doing it, and it is, you know, let's think about the things that we've just mentioned, the nappy changing facilities. If you're just say, for instance, food facilities too, because you know you've got to chuck away old food,
yeah.
food that nobody wants anymore, and so on and so forth. If you're not doing it correctly, I'm guessing you can get into trouble.
Yeah, sure.
Serious trouble.
Yeah, definitely.
So if you do want advice, if you are, you know, the certain people that, I mean, I'm guessing it's not done, I'm guessing some people will be doing it to penny pinch, some mm-hmm. people will just be not doing it because they just simply don't know what they're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. I would question that because I think, well, if you're running a business like that, you should know where, you know,
yeah.
what you got, how you got to do it. But this is where you come in and give advice
mm-hmm.
and you can help out with materials and so on and so forth. So is there anybody now listening that is like thinking, do you know what? You just mentioned nappy changing facilities then, and all we've been doing is just the basic, just put it in a bin and have done with.
Yeah.
If you're saying that we need something specific, then we've got to go and get it. How do we get hold of you?
Well, you can contact us on our website. It's islandhygiene.com. We're on Facebook, Island Hygiene, Island Environmental Hygiene Limited. You can find us on Facebook or just give us a call, 721943. We're also on Twitter, IEH_LTD. There's a variety of different ways you can get in contact with us, and we do have a compliance officer who is always happy to give advice. So just get in contact with us and we're happy to
he can come out and give you what they call a pre-acceptance. He can come out and advise you what you know you should do, and you know if you get us to take it away or some other company, he can tell you how to do that as well.
Sure. So what's the one thing, or you know, there must be a number of things that people overlook, and they're not necessarily doing it deliberately to save money, but they're just, oh, I didn't know that. There must be something that you come across on a weekly, daily basis where people just think, oh, I didn't know that. I had no clue that that's what... I mean, yeah. I had no clue when you started talking about pods and things and the loos and things like that. And I mean, I would imagine that's where most people slip up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's something that is for the individual. We obviously can't read minds, what they're thinking and that, and how they dispose of whatever they want to dispose of. But I think basically, as long as you take in the knowledge that you know you've got to do something about it properly, you should do that. We don't get really that side of it. All the people that we deal with at the moment, they actually are very, very good. They keep by the law and the legal side of it. It could be anything from nappies to sharp needles. It could be prescription or medicines. They obviously know what they're doing. So they approach us. Sorry about this, I've got laryngitis. They approach us to get rid of it in the legal way. But what they're doing wrong, we can't say because we don't know what they're doing on the other side of the fence.
Right.
So basically, that's a bit of a, not a blind area, but we don't really know what they're up to, you know. But if they think about what they are doing, it's a knock-on effect. And it's like the environmental business again, which I'll bring up. You know, whatever you do, it can affect somebody, because they could dispose of something that's quite infectious. Because you've got to remember, infection spreads no matter what, wherever. So if you put it in a bag, you think it's safe. That particular infection might not be. You know, you have to take it to incineration and all that sort of business. And they may not even know. This is the problem.
Yeah.
It's a grey area, you know.
Do you ever think, like, when you're watching the news and you read, you know, the hospital's got problems, they've got this ward and that ward, do you ever think, do you know what, I'll go in there and I'll sort that out for them?
Yeah, I could.
Go on then. How would you sort it out?
Good old soap and water. Simple as that.
Yeah.
It's all right having these super-duper hand gels and all these super-duper chemicals. And, of course, viruses do advance and infections do advance. Clever little monkeys. But basically, the normal protocol is washing your hands after everything you do. I've even seen doctors not even wash their hands before they even touch anybody. And obviously I can't say who and who what and when and where, but I've seen that, and probably people listening to this have seen it as well. It's just simple common sense. When you're handling health, always wash your hands before and always wash your hands afterwards. And that would save a hell of a lot of problems.
And get yourself one of those blade things as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
All right. Is there anything else you want to add? I mean, we've got about 7 or 8 minutes to come. But is there, you know, what other rules are people not aware of? Are the things that they should be doing and they should be putting in place? You know, we mentioned, you know, facilities in toilets and things like that. But is there anything else?
Basically, I think we've gone right across the board with the stuff we've talked about as regards general health and well-being. Just basically, be aware of what you're doing. I know everybody's busy in their life, you know, and they got pressures, whether they're working in an office or whether they're working in a home even. And we all got pressures, but always stop and think what you're going to do before you're dealing with hygiene as such. Hygiene is a big word. It goes right across the board.
Yeah, sure.
So whatever you're doing, whatever, you know, you're having to do, and it involves hygiene, always stop and think. Take a moment. Just think, should I do this first? Should I do that? think. And once again, it's that magic word, common sense. It's as simple as that. You don't have to study for it. It's probably there in your head already.
Okay. You've got services on your... I've just been going through your website, and there's services on there which, you know, leap out and say, right, okay, I know roughly what that is. Clinical waste, non-hazardous waste, hazardous waste, sanitary waste, pharmaceutical waste, sharps disposal. Ain't got a clue what that is.
Right, we get somebody like the chemists or the homes ring up or anybody to deal with Joe Public or patients who need, say, needles for diabetes every day or whatever illness they got. And once they've used that needle, obviously they dispose of it in the right manner. They put that in a proper sharps bin, and when that sharps bin's filled up, they ring us up. We go to them, we give them certain paperwork which covers them to say yes, it's been taken away legally, then we dispose of it in the right manner. And that's what your sharps is, which is to do with needles.
Okay, a sharps bin is a bin that you can just put your sharp stuff in, yeah?
Put your sharp stuff in. It could be needles, it even could be razor blades.
Right, yeah.
Because we work with the prisons sometimes, take their stuff away, and they have razor blades. Obviously, you don't know if they're infected, so they put them in sharps bins. They're taken away, and they're disposed in the right manner.
Do you know what, the more we talk about this, the more it opens up, and it's like, it's fascinating.
Just goes on and on.
But in a kind of, you know, I mean, you're involved in it. This is, you know, your chosen profession. I'm like on the outside looking in and thinking, yeah, it's fascinating, but I don't want to get my hands dirty, kind of way, if you know what I mean. But you mentioned prisons there. I mean, how sort of, you know, it's kind of scary stuff, but you've got to know what you're doing. You've got to know what you're talking about, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's, you're always learning. It's like most professions in the medicine, you know, whatever you like, medical sort of side of it, hygiene side of it. There's always new developments. There's always new horizons as regards to making you aware of, well, you hear it on the radio and television. All of a sudden, they've discovered a new virus which does this and does that. See, like I said before, you've got to keep your ear to the ground and look and watch and take all this in. And it's a hell of a lot of it to do. It's impossible to know everything all at once, but you just got to do your best. And if you have any problems, you go to the hierarchy to find out what they're talking about, such as the Environmental Agency and all these people.
How busy are they? The old, you know, because again, I'm thinking of an Only Fools and Horses episode where they have Del Boy ends up painting the Chinese restaurant purely and simply because they've been tipped off by the elf and safety peeps.
Yeah,
are they out there in force? Are they out there a lot? Because I don't hear about them much. You hear on TV programs maybe that, oh, this person's been, you know, shut down because of this, or they've got X amount of days to comply with rules and so on. Are they out there in a prolific kind of way?
I can't really answer that. All I can say is that they seem to be quite efficient. You know, like if there's something going on and it gets reported, they go and see them. These certain people that are not doing something, compliance or whatever. But basically, they're an agency. They're there to help people like us, as well as Joe Public, to find out what the problem is. I suppose they've obviously got an office on the Riverway there. Riverway Estate, isn't it? Somewhere out there they've got an office. And their main office is on the mainland for our area. But yeah, they've always helped us, you know, if we've asked for certain things. Our compliance officer wasn't sure he should be doing this. He'd ring them up, or other people in that area. He gets advice, and then we follow that advice. But yeah, regards to your question, I gather they are out there. They must be out there because we do hear problems turn up. You know, it could be a restaurant, it could be a hospital, a school, anything that's a bit, little bit not too clever, and they have to walk in and find out what the problem is and tell them how to solve it, or solve it, you know, themselves through people that do that sort of particular problem.
Have you got like letters after your name? Because you obviously must have to, you know, keep up to date with everything that's going on. So do you have like you know, a title?
No. The only guy that's got the title is our compliance officer. He's got what they call WIMI tab and all these other little names after it and that. But no, we're just straightforward. Listen, learn, do it properly and help.
So he must have to go away on courses to be, you know,
yeah,
up
we send
to date
him away.
Everything.
We pay for that because he's a part of our team.
Sure.
And it costs thousands, absolutely thousands.
How often does it change? How often do you know?
He has to do his compliance extension, if you like, or what they call it, you know, like a first aid. You have to do like a refresher course. He has to do it every 2 years.
But he's doing courses all the time.
All the time, yeah.
Constantly, yeah. He's always on different courses, so his knowledge is increasing. And it's not just him, our drivers go off on courses as well. One of our drivers is going off for a five-day course in May.
He's doing what they call an ADR course, which is to do with carrying certain naughty stuff as well as ordinary stuff, such as do the medical or hygiene. We're even allowed to carry nuclear power waste, if you believe it or not. Not that we would, but you know, you have to get legalised on that, and you have to be go to the certain courses, and to go through that, you've got to learn.
The more we talk about it, the more interesting it becomes, and the more it opens up, and you just think, wow, this is just, I thought it was just bins and stuff.
A specialised business.
And it's, I mean, when you apply common sense, it's not rocket science at all.
No.
People have to have injections, so there's going to be a needle.
Yeah, definitely.
People have to go to the loo, so they have to wash their hands and do other things
as
well.
And with the medicines, they're called POMs, they're called prescription of medicines, that are used and obviously not used up altogether, and some that are not used, they've got to dispose that in a proper manner. And that's what we do.
Okay, look, we're running out of time, but if you want more details, there is a website, www.islandhygiene.com. Ireland Environmental Hygiene Limited, working towards an environmentally friendly island, and you are working towards that, and I reckon you should get hold of Alan Sugar and say, look, I've got an idea, this is where I want to go, we could pilot this on the Isle of Wight. You actually look like you could get away with brothers, couldn't you? You'd obviously be a younger brother.
Well, I'm from that patch, so as Tommy Steele said to me once, the success of life is you smile and you be cheeky and the rest will come to you. And he's right.
That is perfect, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is spot on with you as well.
We won't go into the other side of my life as well either.
Well, we're not this time round,
no.
But I mean, we ain't got time, but please come back with us. But I mean, you used to live seven doors down from Alan Sugar.
Yeah, when I was a kid, yeah, me and my brother, and we were only kids then. We didn't realise who they were and what they were, but yeah, they used to boil beetroots in the backyard, and we used to call him Alan the Red because his hands were always red. And during the day, the next day, they go around the houses and sell it. And he was only about 13, 14 then. Real character.
Have you ever thought about getting hold of him and saying, look, got this idea, you could pilot it?
Yeah, but he want a percentage, that's the problem.
Well, you can give him a little percentage, can't you? Just a little one?
Yeah, free hygiene.
Free
facilities.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
I would love to meet him sometime. You know,
I think you should go for it. Hey, Hannah and Peter, thank you very much for coming in and being with
Thanks
us.
Thanks for asking.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Didn't hurt at all, did it? Stand by. Chris is on the way.
This is Vectis Radio.